Stairway to Heaven. All right. Let's see if there's anything else I need to mention as far as announcements here. I think the main thing is just, it's no surprise to anyone, of course, that the building's under a lot of construction. And so please do not go downstairs and keep the children from going downstairs, particularly, except for, using the restrooms. So, and hopefully, they've gotten a good part of it done down there, but it's still a couple of weeks away, and so forth. And also next week, what we might do is, as things are shifting around in here, because pews are going to be removed, we might bring in some more chairs and everything so that in some of these vacant areas so that we can follow along. Okay. Well, let's turn with me to Genesis chapter 28, which is actually the beginning of the portion today. We want to read a few verses and then talk about the stairway to heaven. Genesis chapter 28, beginning in verse 10, which is actually where the portion begins, might say. Genesis 28:10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. And he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of the Lord were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will be spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he placed under his head and set it upon a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the place Bethel, though the city, which means the house of God, though the city will be used to be called Luz. All right. Well, we can see here that Jacob, in fact, we saw the last week or so, that Jacob is a really fascinating character. And last week he was introduced, we introduced Jacob in the portion. And now what's interesting is the next seven portions have to do with Jacob in some level in his life. It's a remarkable number of portions for that. And it's interesting that, and this is where we concluded last week, is that by the time we get to the portion this week, he's already pretty much accomplished in his life what he had intended to do. And he did it at a young age. If you remember, what he intended to do was to be able to get the birthright from his brother and then to be able to get the blessing from his father that was intended for his brother. That was Jacob's goal, and he got them at a young age. Now, that's not bad for a young guy to be able to pull all of this off. At a young age, be able to pull off pretty much what you desire to get out of life. And in fact, it's a little bit like these millionaires that you hear about who become millionaires in their 20s, particularly with the technological revolution and all the stuff that's gone on the internet. A lot of very young people who've been very enterprising have become millionaires in their 20s. It's pretty remarkable. But what Jacob didn't learn at this point is that every action causes a reaction. And that every decision has a corresponding result. And that, as the Bible says, whatever you sow, you're going to also reap. That's what Jacob didn't know. Now, after Jacob had received his father's blessing, which again was intended for Isaac, it causes a deep resentment in his brother Esau because of what had happened. And Esau plans to kill him. This was at the end of the last portion. Now, Rebekah, who is, of course, the mother of the two of them, and who was the one who hatched the plot in the beginning to arrange for Jacob to get this blessing from the father that was intended for Esau. Now, what she does is she suggests to Jacob that he escape and he leave his home country, leave his home and go back to his original home, the original home from where his parents came from and so forth, to be able to get a wife, but primarily to escape the plans that Esau had against him. And Isaac, his father, agrees with this. And again, the reason was given so that he would not marry a Canaanite. He would not marry the person in the land, but rather would go back home and find someone else. Now, I don't know if you see any irony here in all this, because two portions ago, when I spoke on the subject of Isaac's match, if you remember, Abraham had wanted to give a choice for a wife for his son Isaac, and he chose specifically not to give her a Canaanite, just like Rebekah did not want to have a Canaanite as a daughter-in-law. And so Abraham had told his servant to go to the very same area to get a wife for his son Isaac, just like now Rebekah was telling Jacob to go back to the land and to find him. But here's the irony about it all, is that the servant was the one that brought the wife for Isaac. But in this particular case now, essentially Jacob is exiled from his country, from his home, to go find this wife. In fact, if you recall from a couple of portions ago, Abraham had specifically told his servant not to allow his son to go back to the original land. And we talked about the reason for that, because those who were called together have to have the same vision and the same goals. And yet Jacob goes back to the original land because, in a sense, he's exiled from the land. And tragically and very sadly, Jacob never again sees his mother alive again. Isn't that a sad story? It's sad because here's a person who had, these two had hatched this plot to get this what they wanted, and yet they ended up never seeing each other ever again. You see, Jacob achieved all he wanted at a very young age, but at what cost? What did he lose in the process? And I'd say he lost a lot. Because what he ended up losing, which is most important to us as human beings, which is relationships. The most important thing that we have as people are relationships. First, relationship with the Lord, and then relationships with other people. And the rest of Jacob's life is a struggle with relationships. It's amazing when you see what happens with Jacob in the rest of his life. His biggest challenges are with relationships. He doesn't see his mother again. He then has this huge battle with his brother, which consumes a good part of the rest of his life. He has problems with his wives later, with his father-in-law, and then with his own sons. He struggles over issues of relationships with his whole life. Now, you know, I'm sure many of you have seen this, but I certainly have in my life, that I've seen this happen over and over again, both in jobs, in families, and even in estates after people die. It's that so much of us, we just want this, we want that, no matter what it happens, no matter what it costs, I'm going to get this thing, no matter what cost of relationship is going to be born. And I've seen it on jobs where people, they cut off, you know, basically because one person is angling out another, then the relationship goes down. I was involved in a consulting firm where that happened, where we were all friends, and by the end, these people had become enemies because they were angling for money and position rather than trying to uphold relationship. The same is true in families. And most sadly, it's most true in estates. When people die, you would think that's what brings people together, but that's often what causes people to split apart because people are fighting over the estate. It's really a tragedy, and that's what ends up happening, angling to get what we want, but losing that which really matters. Now, Jacob leaves at this point, and he goes back to his home, the home country from his family. And if you remember last week, however, even though Jacob is in a sense exiled, we shared last week that Jacob was the one who was chosen by the Lord. And that no matter what he did, God would not let him go because the Lord had a plan for him. En route to where Jacob was going, Jacob was arrested. You realize that? He was arrested. Now, he wasn't arrested by man, but he was arrested by God. That's what happened. It wasn't like he was seeking anything. He wasn't seeking God. It just happened on the way. It's like a police arrest. It comes suddenly without warning, and it's life-changing. And that is exactly what happened to Jacob on his way to his homeland. He was arrested by the Lord. Now, I remember years ago, I think I've shared the story, is that I was working with a young woman when I was on Capitol Hill, and she was very ambitious, And she was wild. She lived a really wild life. And I was sharing with her about the things of the Lord. And, you know, she was politely interested, but didn't really do a whole lot. She just lived a real wild life and would tell me about it and the other staff people and so forth. I was praying for her, and Stacey and I would pray for her together. And then one day, she was arrested by the Lord. I'll never forget that day. She was coming across the Capitol lawn, right in front of the Capitol, and all of a sudden she heard a voice calling her name. She turned around to look, and there was no one there. It kind of freaked her out a little bit. She kept going. Her name was called again. She looked back. Suddenly she realized it was the Lord that was calling to her. And she stopped, and she gave her heart to the Lord that moment. She's been living for the Lord ever since. That was well over 20 years ago and so forth. She was arrested on that day by the Lord. It was life-changing. And my question to you is this. Have you ever been arrested by God? Because it causes a redirection in one's life. That's what happens. You know what? God is a disruptor. And the reason is he breaks into the normal and he shows us something more. That's what the Lord desires. You see, what Jacob saw that day has been given a number of different names, what he actually saw. Remember what we read here in the Bible? One of the names that was given to what he saw was Jacob's ladder. And one of the great Negro spirituals is a song called Jacob's Ladder. Another name is given to it is The Stairway to Heaven, which is the title of my talk and also a well-known song in our era. Also, it's been called The Highway to Heaven, which, of course, I think was a television show, if I'm not mistaken. But it also was a lot of other things that Jacob saw. What he also saw was the wardrobe into Narnia that C.S. Lewis writes about in The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. This was also the unplugging of Mr. Anderson in The Matrix. This was the light that blazed over Rav Shaul in the New Testament, transforming him into becoming the Apostle Paul. This was the bush that Moses peered into, and suddenly he saw something and heard something in this bush that completely changed his life. This was the mountain that Yeshua walked up with, in which three of his disciples were there with him, and he was transformed and transfixed amidst them. This is what this is all about. What is it? This is the opening into heaven from earth. It's a portal into heaven that only occasionally we on earth get to see. But this is what these folks saw one way or another. This is where mortal meets immortality. This is where the transient meets the eternal. This is where the mundane meets the extraordinary. This is where man meets God. It's in these heaven and earth junctions that happens throughout our lives from time to time. Jacob said this when he saw it. This is what he described when he woke up from the dream. He said, Ma nora hamakom hazeh. How awesome is this place? That's what's written on the doorway as you come into the sanctuary, folks, on both sides. That's what Craig Hammond has put up for us on Hebrew on both sides. How awesome is this place? Then it goes on the rest. That's what Jacob said when he saw what he saw. This is what Isaiah said. He said, Oy li, woe is me. And then he said, Chini nid mati, I am ruined. This is what Job said when he saw something very similar. He said, Emad nichamti, I despise myself. And al afar, va'afer, I repent in dust and ashes. This is what these people see when they suddenly see into the heavenly realm from earth. Their life suddenly changes and they're overcome by what they've seen. That's the beauty of all this. You see, God broke into Jacob's life. He arrested him and gave him a peek into the heavens. And this is what I call the heaven and earth junction. Now, what exists in these heaven and earth junctions? What happens at these heaven and earth junctions? Because really, the same thing happens every time for each person. It's amazing. The first and foremost thing that happens is that the Lord reveals himself. And I want you to read again Genesis 28, verse 13. Let's just look at it again quickly. This is what it says when Jacob had this dream. Genesis 28, 13. It says, there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying, and so on and so forth. In other words, what he saw first and foremost was he saw the Lord, and the Lord described himself. I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Jacob. That's what he saw. It's the same thing that Moses heard when he was peering into the burning bush And all of a sudden, he didn't realize what he was seeing. And then he heard the same voice. I am the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, the first and foremost thing happens at heaven and earth junctions is that we see the Lord. And it's life-changing. It's not just you anymore. It's not just your achievements or your plans or your goals or your activities. Something or someone appears that totally changes your life and totally changes your orientation. That's what happens. It's no longer it's no longer Jacob's ingenuity that brought about the birthright and the blessing. And suddenly it's a realization that God's plan was this all along, that he get it. And he could have gotten it God's way instead of his own way. You see, when man meets God, life changes. That's what ends up happening. And you can try to run from it. You can try to avoid it. You can try to ignore it. You can try to do whatever you want to do. But it's like I was talking, what it's really like is, it's like this, as I was talking to Joel Flores here a few weeks ago, and we were moving him in, and he was showing us this beautiful, I think it was a marlin, isn't it a marlin, or a swordfish or something that he caught out in the ocean. And you know what it's like? It's like, you're like one who's been hooked like a marlin out into the ocean. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, something's wrong. Something's happened here. And suddenly you want to get away, and you start racing, getting away. And no matter, and you might think you can run and hide and escape, but all that's really happening is just being reeled in. Just being reeled in. That's what happens when you meet the Lord. When you get arrested by God, you can try to run from it, but he's got you. That's the whole thing. He's got you. And he's never going to let you go. You can do anything you want. You can do anything to run from God, but he's not going to let you go. He's going to reel you in. You can either fight it or submit to it. I can tell you one who is experienced in this, not in fishing, but in getting caught by God, is that it's a lot easier when you submit to it than when you fight it, because it gets to be a little rough. You know what? The Lord is the opposite of self. That's what really happens. He opens an eye to you. He opens your eyes to a reality that is beyond yourself. Suddenly you see and you realize that you're in a much bigger life and in a much bigger plan. That's what happens. And you know what? God reveals this primarily in the life of Yeshua, who gains all by sacrificing all. That's what happens. You see the bigger picture because God is the opposite of self. The Lord himself is the opposite of self. He's always for something much bigger. At the heaven and earth junction is always the Lord. Now, number two, what else happens at the heaven and earth junction is the revelation and the communication of a plan. You see, Jacob had plans. He had plans all along, as we've already described them. And he's already achieved them. But God had bigger plans, way beyond anything that Jacob himself had imagined. Jacob wanted the good life, and God gave him a life that would make a difference. That's what it was all about. You know what? They're not mutually exclusive. A good life and a life that makes a difference are not necessarily mutually exclusive. But God's thoughts and his plans and his ways are always beyond ours. Abraham was concerned that he would have just one child. And God said that his children would be, his descendants would be like the sand on the seashore. What is that about? Whatever you imagine, God imagines more for you. This is what the Apostle Paul said about this. He said, since then you've been raised with the Messiah, set your heart on things above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. But set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Why? Because God's plans are always bigger. His imaginations for you are always larger than anything that you could possibly have. That's the reason why. At heaven and earth junctions, God reveals and dictates his plans. And the rest of your life is a journey to walk out the plans that he has for you. That's the reality. Number three is in Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. Let's look at it. Genesis 28, 15. This is what the Lord says to Jacob. He says, I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised for you. What is the promise here? What is the thirdfold thing? Is that the Lord will always be with you no matter what. Now, why is that important? Because the person's already seen the Lord. So what is the importance of the fact that the Lord says he's always going to be with him? You see, Jacob didn't know the Lord was with him before, but he was. And then through it all, but now he does know. And the rest of Jacob's life, guess what, folks? It's not an easy life. Jacob doesn't live an easy life after this. It's extremely challenging in many respects, as we've already described. Let's consider what happens to Jacob the rest of his life after this revelation. He goes back to his homeland. He bargains for one wife or one woman. He gets another woman. That's what ends up happening. He plans to stay in this country for a short time. He spends over 20 years. He's stuck there. He decides he's going to try to outfox his father-in-law, Laban, and he often himself gets outfoxed, is what happens. He returns to his homeland to expect peace, and he finds his brother coming with him with an army to meet him. And then everything, finally, when he gets back to his homeland and everything is great, suddenly he loses his most beloved son, Joseph, who he thinks is killed in a tragic accident. But it's really a plot by his other sons to sell Joseph into slavery. But of course, Jacob doesn't know this, and he's lost a child. And anybody here who's lost a child or knows somebody who's lost a child, you know how devastating that is. And that's what Jacob expects for 15, 20 plus years. And then, after Joseph's been found by his brothers, then his other sons are taken from Jacob. That's the kind of life that Jacob lived. It wasn't easy. We wonder sometimes, have I blown it? Have I missed what God really wants for my life? It doesn't seem like the way I imagined it or the way I felt like the Lord showed it to me. It doesn't seem that way anymore. This couldn't be the Lord's way. I must have missed the turn somewhere along the line. You see, Jacob had an assurance of God's protection, and he was always with him through all of these things. It was part of the Lord's plan for his life. Yeshua says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is what I mean. He is always there, no matter what. 20 years ago, I had one of these heaven and earth junctions myself. And like Jacob, I had achieved a lot on my own. And now I was in a crisis. And the Lord revealed himself to me like the stairway to heaven. Now, I didn't have a dream, and I didn't see a ladder or a stairway going into heaven. But I knew it was the Lord who was calling to me. And he was calling to me at that point because I had walked away from him. And it was extremely humbling. It was life-changing. He called me to go. It was at that point that he called me to go into the ministry. And then for the next few years, things didn't go well at all, just like Jacob. And I remember wondering, time and again, had I really heard the Lord? Had I made a mistake? What was I doing wrong? None of this was supposed to happen this way. Jacob could have very much said the same thing. You know, the Lord said he was going to be with him, and then all these tragic things happened to him. But you know what? He led us here, and he changed our lives forever. And I'm just going to ask you this question. We're going to close. Have you seen the stairway to heaven? And if you've seen it, do you still believe it? Are you still holding on to it? Or have you pretty much just given it up and thought, oh, it's not going to happen? Because things have just gotten kind of rough. It hasn't worked out the way I imagined it to be. Remember what I said before. When the Lord is the greatest fisherman of all. And when he hooks you, you can't get away. Okay? Just like Joel Flores, that marlin didn't get away from him. I don't know if it was me, but it gotten away from me. I can tell you that right now. Of course, I wouldn't have been out fishing at all because I don't like it. But the Lord never loses a fish that he catches. And he's got a hook in you, or he wants to have a hook in you that will never let go. And that he can explain to you and share with you his plans. And that no matter what, he's always going to be with you. That's the great promise from this passage here. And that's my challenge to you. Have you ever seen a stairway to heaven? And if you have, do you still believe it? God does. And he wants you to experience all that he has in his life, in your life. Let's close in prayer. Well, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this time together. Thank you for the life of Jacob. Lord, we thank you for the story, Lord, of a man so much like us, Lord. That's what makes us such a great story. He's just like one of us, Lord, trying to get his own way, achieve his own destiny, And then you suddenly arrest him in an early part of his life, Lord. And then you've got him for the rest of his life. And make him into the person that you desire, Lord. Father, we want to be like that, Lord. We know it can only come one way. It only comes by bowing at the feet of Yeshua, the Messiah of the Jewish people and the Savior of all the world, Lord. And Father, we want that right now for each of us. I pray for anybody in this room or on television who's never said yes to Yeshua. This is where it begins, where you really know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in all of his power and say yes to Yeshua, the way to know the Lord. And Father, I pray for any of the rest of us here who know you already, Lord, to simply to say, yes, Lord, I want to experience that stairway to heaven, or I have seen it, Lord, and I don't want to let it go. I know you have something that you're doing in me, Lord. And Father, I submit myself to you now to experience all that you have, Lord God, and that, Father, you will bring me to the place that you want, just like you did with Jacob and all the other great patriarchs in the scriptures throughout all of history, Lord. Father, we surrender ourselves to you now to serve you, to experience your goodness, O Lord. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction, and then we will go from there. All right. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha Yareh Adonai panav elecha v'yihunecha Yis Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace to the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Bookstore is open for visitors and anyone else. And let's have a good week in God. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward and someone will pray with you. Amen.